Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Castanis. This is episode 318, season 13. Today's date is March 24th, 2024, and welcome to the show. I like that. It's 324-24. 324-24. On today's program, I'm going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the debut of Chicago television station, WCIU-TV, Channel 26 in Chicago. Mind you, it's still around, but I'm going to talk about its history, and it has been it's been changed over the years. And I'll talk about my memories of watching the station when I was a kid, because it's not like today. It was so different. Also, I will talk about Falstaff beer. Talk about my memories of that beer, and that would be interesting as well. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break. This program is brought to you by Burger King Specialty Sandwiches. And this is a commercial from the late 1970s. And as you listen to the commercial, they introduce a new line of sandwiches besides hamburgers, you know, besides Whoppers. So after the commercial is played, I'll explain. Okay? So sit back, kick off your shoes, relax, and I'll be right back with the program, folks. Thank you.
Who's got something brand new you never had before?
Who's got the best darn burger and a whole lot more?
Burger King introduces four new specialty sandwiches.
Chicken is a new filet, white meat through and through. Our chopped beef steak is U.S. choice. The ham and cheese is new. A great fish sandwich, too.
Who's got the best darn burger and a whole lot more?
New specialty sandwiches.
Burger King and Ryan.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Burger King specialty sandwiches. They were introduced in 1978. And then they expanded a year later to all restaurants. That's when the original chicken sandwich was introduced. And believe it or not, it's still on the menu. The rest are gone, you know, as the ones you heard on the commercial, that is. They had ham and cheese, roast beef, and fish. They have fish, but it's different like that. I never tried it. So the menu has changed over the years, and they added more stuff, you know, like that. When I worked at Burger King in 1981 to 82, I was at Daly College on the southwest side of Chicago. Got a job at a Burger King in the Brighton Park neighborhood. And, you know, I worked part-time. I went to school. That was a little tough, you know, back then. You know, I wasn't doing well in my studies. You know, I was just a little aimless. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I'm not sure. I didn't really want to go to Daily. You know, I just want to, you know, go to work, you know, or just goof off. Sounds irresponsible. Yeah, it does back then. So got the job. I was working at the broiler. You know, you place the Whoppers in the broiler. I did that. Easy job, you know. You place the and then you go, you put them in the back, and then you turn, and then you go up front, and then you take them with the tongs, and then you place the burgers on the hamburgers, and then you put them in a warmer. I don't know what they do now today. Maybe the same, I imagine. So besides that, I also made sandwiches. You know, we now they come in boxes or, you know, but they didn't do that. First I came and, like, you wrap them. They trained me to do that. You know, as sandwich making, I wasn't bad. You know, you have to remember, you had to listen what the cashier was saying. Today they have them on the screen. You know, they have TV screens. They should have had that, but when I was there, that would have been easier. But now you got to listen. If you have good hearing, because it's chaotic around lunchtime. like that. So, because they're all different, you know. Some people don't want lettuce, they don't want onion, they want extra mayonnaise, you know, blah blah blah. The only job I dread doing was cashier. I was nervous talking to people. I didn't like that. Drive-thru was okay. But cashier, I was scared as a cat. I hated that part of the job. I did make sandwiches. I also made the fish sandwiches, the ham and cheese. I cleaned up. What else I did? I did the fries. And then, you know, this is like a subject of Burger King, you know, I'm sorry about that. So, and then that job lasted about a year. Then I went and started and I enrolled in DeVry Institute of Technology up north, full time. You know, I told my parents that I don't want to work, you know, I want to concentrate on full studies because I really want to make something, make a difference for myself, you know. They said, fine, do that. Quit your job and go full time. And I did. You know, they were very supportive like that. I didn't have a car back then. So I did borrow my mother's car. We had two cars at the time. So I used it for work, you know. But when I went to DeVry, I didn't rely on a car. I took public transportation. I took the CTA and I took the Blue Line. It's called the Congress O'Hare line. And I did that and did that every day for about 3 years. Like that. As for Burger King, I still go there once in a while. I love Whoppers, love hamburgers, you know, and the last change. My favorite sandwich of all, besides the chicken sandwich, I love the Italian version, you know, like Parmesan. You know, you have breaded chicken with marinara sauce and mozzarella cheese. That is good. I love that one. They don't bring that often. It comes and goes. And, you know, I don't know if it's still on the menu. Maybe it is. No. So like I said, you know, fast food is, I'm so weakened by that. I get a craving for that now and then, but I'm trying to stay away, you know, because of my health. You know, that's the way it is. Gotta be careful. So when they introduced the sandwiches, that was a big deal. When I was working there at Burger King, they introduced another one, bacon double cheeseburgers. We used to put the bacon and all that. They still do that. I believe they do that. But, you know, that's not good for your it's too salty. Like that. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the debut of WCIU-TV Channel 26 in Chicago. And I will talk about Falstaff beer. Before I get started, I want to mention one thing. I won't do a podcast Tuesday because I'm going to be a little busy with something. Something came up. So I'll probably do one over the weekend, next weekend, that is. And of course, I mentioned before, I have some doctor's appointments. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a consultation with the radiologist, see what she says, hopefully. And then Wednesday, I have an appointment with my urologist. The funny thing is, my mother talked to my cousin in Greece, and she's a nurse. And she explained what's going on with me. And she says, you know, didn't they do a biopsy on this? I go, no, they didn't do that. So that's kind of odd. But she said that, my cousin said, you know, it's probably nothing. It's just a lesion. So once, you know, radiation burns off things, I think it does. I think that's its purpose. It'll probably come off and you'll be okay. I hope so. I want to get this over with. Then the PSA will go down and then we'll see about the medications. We'll see about that because I'm taking two. I'm on my last one on Orgovyx tomorrow. I haven't got a refill because of insurance again. It's kind of stupid. So if I see the urologist Wednesday, I'll explain. I think he's aware of it, you know, but he's not too happy about that. He makes me laugh. So hopefully he can straighten it out. And it once it, you know, once I go for sessions for radiation, I don't know how many it'll be, 1 to 5, 2, 3, I don't know. If everything's fine and the PSA's down, then maybe I don't need the Xtandi, the other medication, or maybe I don't need the Orgovyx. I think I'll be okay. But I think the Orgovyx will stick around. But maybe I don't need the Xtandi. So that's good. I hope it's good news. And that's one less medication. Okay. All right. Now let's get started on WCIU-TV Channel 26 in Chicago. Now, when I was growing up, I remember seeing this station on my old black and white Zenith TV that we first owned in the 1970s in the Roseland neighborhood of Chicago. I remember my dad bought it. It was black and white. We didn't get color until much later. And so I'll give you how it started when it went on the air, because I missed the anniversary of that, you know, of the debut of the station. So it happened February 6, 1964. That's when it first aired. Okay. And the founder of this station was a man named John J. Weigel. If that last name sounds familiar to you, it does, because his son was Tim Weigel, who used to do the sports on WMAQ TV Channel 5 and also on WLS Channel 7 for many years. You know, very nice man. You know, unfortunately, he died of a brain tumor a long time ago. He's also his son, Rafer Weigel. He did the sports. I think he did the sports, and he was, and then he does broadcast news. He moved to St. Louis, and then he came back here, and then he left again, and he went to San Diego. Now I found out he's doing something different. I talked to him on Facebook. He's a very nice guy. You know, he's and he does follow my page and, you know, Van Chicagoland, which is awesome. All right. So the station, they put multi-ethnic entertainment. You know, not much like reruns or news, like new stuff. And other people who had a minor interest were, there was a businessman named Howard Shapiro and his brother Gene. They had an appliance store called CET. If you remember from the old commercials, and they showed, like on Channel 9 or Channel 32, it's like it stood for Chicago Engineers for Television. You would rent TVs, and they took over the broadcasting about 2 years later, 1966. Okay. From all that time, they had religious programs, Spanish language programs. One of the programs that stood out was the Chicago. It was a Stock Market Observer. You know, it's that show where you see all the stocks on the bottom of the screen, and you see all the stock quotes, you know, going back and forth like that. You know, going left from right to left like that. I used to see that. I don't know. I found that fascinating as a kid. Now it's a kind of dull. I remember Jack Taylor did that for a while. And it was the studio was at the top floor of the Chicago Board of Trade building on West Jackson Boulevard, you know. And one of the most controversial shows they had on the station was Bullfighting from the Spanish International Network. Now, I don't know who decided that or why this came to be. So I don't remember seeing it, but that's according to most people that follow Van Chicagoland. They mentioned this in the comics. They used to watch that and they found it fascinating. But, you know, bullfighting is a huge sport in Mexico and Spain. They love it. They go crazy. It's like soccer in Europe and here, football, of course, here. Oh, boy. You know, sports fans are passionate, even back then. Also, they had another TV show, which a lot of people are familiar with. They had Kitty Agogo. used to be on Channel 9, then they moved it to Channel 26, and is hosted by Elaine Mulqueen. You know, they had the puppets and they had a dance show. Remember her? And also, the most famous show that they had on was Soul Train. Yes, Soul Train. And it made its debut in 1970. The creator was Don Cornelius, if you remember. He was the host. He was an employee of the station. And it was a big hit, a huge hit. They had dancing, you know. I remember watching it. It was like everyone looked like they had a good time. They're all dancing like that. And then it moved. I think it moved to Channel 9 later on, you know. And so, you know, and then other memories of that station I had were like on Sundays, you know, they had ethnic programming. I remember Polish, Lithuanian, of course, Spanish. What else they had? Also Greek. Of course, you know, they had a Greek program, and there was a local Greek show called Hellenic Theater. I'm going to talk about that show someday because a lot of Greeks have requested, please talk about Hellenic Theater. You know, talk about that, and I will someday. So that aired from 7 o'clock, I think 7 to 8. You know, maybe I think it expanded to 2 hours. Nah, not really, an hour. That was hosted by a man. His name was Bobby Papademos. And he would get on. He would smoke a big cigar, you know, introduce acts and do, you know, he had sponsors, you know. I'll talk about a little bit more about him one day, you know, because I find him fascinating. My mom started watching this show, and so do her friends, people from our church. The Greek community started watching this. The problem was we only had one television set at the time. So I couldn't watch anything, or my brother, you know, me and my brothers, we couldn't watch anything from 7 to 8, which was a downer because they had some good programming on Sunday nights. That's until we moved to our house in 1974. We got the TV in the living room. My mom could watch that, and then I would get my own TV. Eventually, we get a TV in the basement, so that we were free from that, you know. And then that show lasted for a long time, until I believe when Bobby Papademos died, you know, his children took over it, but it wasn't very successful, and they yanked it. They also had Greek programming, and that lasted, you know, for a while. Believe it or not, my mom still watches a Greek program, but it's not on the U. It's not on Channel 26. It's on Channel 62 every Sunday. So it's sort of the same thing like that. And then they had Spanish programming. There was one called Ayuda, something like that. And that lasted for much of the 70s and the 80s, like that. And then they had Univision and Telemundo. Those are the Spanish networks. They had that. Then all of a sudden, in 1995, WCIU turned into the U. And they started broadcasting in English. Okay. And they started buying because there was a station called Channel 66. This is WGBO. And then those Spanish networks went to that, I believe. And they went earlier, I assume so. So it became the U. And I think on New Year's Day, 1995, I believe, they started broadcasting American television. And I remember the promos. I remember the reruns of The Munsters, Leave It to Beaver, other programming. And of course, Svengoolie came back. He was canceled in the late 80s. And you know what? Svengoolie came back, hosted by Rich Kaz. And it was great seeing him. Oh, it was wonderful. You know, he just picked up pick up where he took off, and then he's still doing this today, but he's on MeTV, which I watch all the time, and he's hilarious, and he's a nice man. He's also my friend on Facebook. Okay, so then over the years, then they had the WB, you know, Warner Brothers, a television that was on Channel 9, that was then became the CW, and but they had the kids programming there, like that. That ran for about 8 or 9 years. Then programming got a little different, you know. And then, you know, right now it's not, they don't show reruns, but not really. They show like court shows or reality shows, you know, kind of garbage TV. But sometimes they showed sports, sometimes basketball, maybe college basketball, baseball, once in a while, like that. Also, let's see what else they had. Other programming they had, the Bob Lewandowski show. Oh, they also had like polka, something with, Eddie Carosa's polka party. A lot of people remember that. Also, they had the Marty Faye show. That was way back in the 60s, you know. Also, the Outdoor Sportsman. A lot of people remember that, you know. Okay, and let's see what else they had. Also, you know, when WCIU first went on the air, you had to buy a converter box. You know, they didn't have TVs equipped with that station at first, so you had to buy a box. You know, convert. Just, you know, you've heard of that. You would connect to your TV, and it's like UHF, VHF, you know, same thing with channel 32, channel 44, channel 20, you know, just like that. But later on, you didn't need it anymore. That was the end of that. Okay. For the program, you know, I found in the Chicago Tribune the programming guide of what was on the first day they debuted on February 6, 1964. They only had two shows on. Excuse me. They had opening night that started at 6 o'clock in the evening by John Weigel, and he just presented the station. That lasted about an hour and a half. You know, I wish somebody would have a tape of that. That'd be awesome. I want to see it. So it was an opening night ceremony. It was broadcasted from the Board of Trade in downtown Chicago. Right after that, it aired a basketball game. It was a basketball game. It was between New York and Philadelphia. I think it was the Knicks and the 76ers. And that was it. But later on, they added more programming like that. And I think Tuton Baker had a show, and I forgot the name of it. I couldn't think of that. But they did air reruns, you know, a few in the 70s. Not many. No, it's like the late 60s. And then, you know, like I said before, they did... they went to ethnic programming. Okay. All right. So right now, I'm going to take a break for a moment. And next up, I'm going to talk about Falstaff beer. Okay. So I'll be right back, folks. Thank you. Okay, everyone, I am back. I took a quick break. Now I'm going to talk about Falstaff beer. You're probably asking yourself, why am I talking about this beer? It has no Chicago ties. That is wrong. No, it does. You know, that is very memorable in this town as well. I'll give you a little history of that. Falstaff was founded in St. Louis, Missouri, and it started in 1838. First it was called Lemp Brewery. Then when... You know, and then they renamed it after the Shakespearean character, Sir John Falstaff. Yeah, you learn something new every day. And it was just, then it just took off, you know. And so the founders of the beer, their names were John Adam Lemp and also William J. Lemp. And also, the Griseldik brothers. I can't pronounce that name. That's bad. All right. So, it took a while to get popular, and by in the 1960s, it became the third largest brewer in America. Let's see that. Okay. And what's memorable about this beer was not the beer itself, its advertising, and also associated with the Chicago White Sox that started in the 70s, throughout the 70s, basically. And it was endorsed by none other than Chicago White Sox announcer Kerry Carey. Oh, I remember this. This is hilarious. You know, he would say, you know, I remember watching him on television, maybe on the radio, mostly on television, and he would endorse the beer many times, and he would go, Falstaff, real loud. My brother did that. You know, Falstaff. Well, he was about 10 or 11 years old, and he did that. And he always held the beer in his hand, you know. In fact, he held a lot of beer in his hand, but it wasn't just Falstaff. No, it was just other types of beer, brands of beer as well. I seen pictures of him when he held Schlitz. Meisterbrau? Maybe not. No. So I remember it was a sponsor for the Chicago White Sox. First it was on Channel 32, then it's Channel 44. That's when the Chicago White Sox, the rights of the airing of the games moved from 32 to Channel 44. And I remember, you know, Channel 44 was kind of a small station, just like Channel 26, like I mentioned, and they aired reruns of TV shows. They had local programming. They had Spanish programming. But this time they had baseball. And, of course, hockey. They did that. I don't know if Falstaff sponsored the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I think it's just baseball. Anyway, there were times where Harry Kay was shown on TV and he would start singing, take me out to the ball game. And he'd be holding a glass of beer or a can of beer. And, you know, most fans remember him seeing him. I'm sure he was drunk most of the time. I'm sure he was. Oh, what a character. I had to talk about him one day. It's funny. I think I did. Yeah, I think I did. So, you know, but then it fell out of popularity. And then around the late 70s, the original plant in St. Louis closed. And then others did as well. And the last one that closed was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And now it was licensed to Pabst Blue Ribbon. So they got that. Of course, Pabst Blue Ribbon, I don't know. They're from Milwaukee, I guess. So I guess they continue to do that. And then they, believe it or not, Falstaff stopped around about 2005. Yeah, I didn't see it much, you know. As for me drinking it, I did try it. It wasn't bad. You know, it was okay. I'm not much of a beer drinker. You know, I like Greek beer. That's another story. So, you know, but most people remember Falstaff beer associated with Harry Carey. They did. Okay, right now I'm going to play a commercial for it's old Falstaff beer. This is like from the late 50s, 1960s. You know, I wish I could find some audio of Harry Carey, you know, touting this beer during a White Sox game. That'd be kind of cool, you know, to listen to that. Also be, you know, like I said, it'd be cool and it'd be hilarious, you know, and very memorable. All right. So here's the commercial for Frostdive beer, and when I come back, I will wrap up the show, folks. All right. So thank you, and I'll be right back.
For mankind's pleasure, this is the one. Get pleasure, Frostdive Stein, the most refreshing beer a thirsty man can pour. Yet light enough to leave room for more.
Man-sized pleasure, every premium quality Falstaff you pour. Falstaff always takes extra care to make the finest beer possible, even to cascading every brew over the Falstaff chilling tower, instantly icing down each brew to protect that famous premium quality taste every step of the way, till it's safely capped in and you're ready to enjoy it. Satisfying to your man-sized thirst, light enough to leave room for more.
For man-sized pleasure, this is the one. Premium quality Falstaff beer.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Falstaff beer. You know, like, it's like a man's beer. Oh my God. You know, that's how it was. You know, they advertised beer in the old days, like almost on a daily basis, all day long. You know, you had your, the ones that we have now, you know, Budweiser, Old Style. What else? And beer that's no longer in production. Stroh's, Michelob, I think Michelob's still around. Yeah, that's still around. Olympia Beer, Old Milwaukee. Blatz, you know, Black Label, you know, you name it, like that. Stag. the list goes on and on and on and on. You know, Lorenbrow, of course. Okay. So that's it for this program. I'll do a recap of what I talked about. I talked about the 60th anniversary of the debut of WCIU TV Channel 26 in Chicago. And, of course, Falstaff beer. And this podcast will be published later on today, wherever podcasts are available, you know, on any apps. Like, for example, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Breaker, Overcast. If you tap on those apps on your phone, your desktop, your iPad, you know, your tablet, your laptop, you know, just tap, listen in, click follow to get notifications of further episodes, or you like to listen to previous episodes as you wish. Also, be on my blog, chicagoland.blog. Can listen there. It'll take it's you click on there, it'll take you a link to listen on Spotify. Also, it'll be published on my YouTube channel. Again, people ask me, where do I find your podcast? Where do I find your podcast? Go to YouTube, do a search, Fan Chicagoland Stories, or type my name. You will find it. Click subscribe. You can listen to the latest episode, or you can listen to previous episodes, and you'll get a notification on your devices. Also, it'll be published on my social media accounts. I'll have the link. It'll take you right there to the podcast. It'll be on Facebook, X, LinkedIn, Reddit, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, and I forgot what else. TikTok, of course. Okay. So this is Pico Stanis, your host for Vanish Conglin Stories. Thank you for joining me. And today is a little chilly on this Sunday. Yeah, on this Sunday. You know, you have to excuse me. I have a little head cold. I've been kind of achy and, you know, kind of stuffed up. I just had some orange juice. You know, now I'm going to make some hot tea. Just relax for the rest of the day. I'm just a little worn out. I'm still tired, you know. I should be more energetic. You know, I want to be energetic, but that's not the case. Okay, so here's Bye Bye for me, and here's Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye, bye, bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye, bye, bye.